something.
Mm-hmm. Something big.
What is possibly the biggest hack in the history of humanity has occurred. 500 million accounts may have been hacked at Yahoo.
That's
500 million
number.
Accounts.
I didn't know they had 500 million accounts. Is that like all of them?
I think they didn't know they had 500 million accounts either.
That's crazy.
Adam Levin is the founder of IDT 911, Identity Theft 911, and we've talked to him before. And Adam, thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
And also the co-founder of Credit.com. I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. Hey, Adam, what is? How could this happen?
Well, unfortunately, something like this just proves once again that it doesn't matter how big you are or how technologically sophisticated you may be, that every company is vulnerable to being hacked and breached. And in fact, we're on track this year, before this, for over 1 billion files being hacked. Now this could bring us up to 1.5 billion files.
Does it say, so what kind of information has been breached? Is it everything, access to people's emails, their security stuff, and their passwords and everything like that? Or are there some sort of limits to what they accessed?
Well, they got access to names, email addresses, user IDs, now hashed passwords. So that means they were scrambled, but we don't know how effectively they were scrambled. Time will tell. Phone numbers, dates of birth, and even encrypted and unencrypted answers to security questions. And, of course, remember, with answers to security questions, a lot of that stuff is already available on social networking because people can't stop oversharing every morsel of their lives.
God, it was a beautiful morning in June when I was born.
Kind of something like that, or, you know, yeah. my dog's name is, my high school mascot is,
yeah.
My mother's maiden name, you know, that kind of stuff. All of that finds its way into security questions. So one of the pieces of advice I always give people is when it comes to formulating answers to security questions, when you set them up, lie.
Well, I don't
right,
even...
I've heard that before, but then you always
you
forget.
You can't remember
it.
Your lies,
wait a
though.
Minute.
I mean, that's the problem.
What did I say my mom's maiden name was? Right.
Well, I think that's one of the other issues, too, is that, like, and they ask you questions, which I don't even fully understand. It's like, who was your favorite teacher in high school? Well, what if I didn't have a favorite teacher in high school? What am I supposed to do then?
Mm-hmm.
That means get another security question.
Yeah. I mean, there's just too much.
But sometimes
too much.
They make you do, like, three of them, and they're mandatory, you know? And you're right. Just like, oh, gosh, I don't know.
Where's the first place you went on an airplane trip? Well, mm-hmm. I mean, does everybody go somewhere on an airplane trip? I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of people that don't ever go on an airplane. I don't
you
understand.
You can also say define airplane, you know, because a hot air balloon count? Who
yeah,
knows?
I guess, I suppose. All right, so now all of that, is, you know, like, as we understand, this is what the hackers do. Do we have any indication where this may have come from?
All they said was it was a state-sponsored hacker, and they don't know which state. So could it be China, Russia,
how do they know that?
Iran? They just don't know, they, because they may not be willing to release that information.
But
yet.
How do they know state-sponsored? How do they, why?
Because oftentimes when malware is involved, which is usually what they use to get into systems, there are certain signature markings, as it were, and the folks that do investigations can have a pretty good idea of the different hacking groups that are involved that use these particular types of malware, and as a result, they can trace it back to one or a number of them. And it's just a question of who hired them, and oftentimes they tend to work for the same people.
Now, Adam, I'm going to ask a question that's going to sound really crazy. So just prepare yourself. Buckle yourself in if
uh-oh.
You're not
watch
already.
Out.
Okay?
Watch out,
I'm
Adam.
Sitting down. I'm sitting down.
Okay, because I'm at a moment here as we are sort of turning toward October of 2016. I'm at a moment where nothing that I thought was real a year ago is real today.
That's true.
Yes, right? I mean,
you're not alone on that.
I fear I'm not, right? I feel like we all have, like, the biggest case of cognitive dissonance of all times. And so I think I have to think of almost any permutation or expansion or parameter of any idea I've ever had. And this is the problem I'm having right now, which is it possible that if it is a state sponsor that took the 500 million, hacked 500 million Yahoo accounts today, or at least was revealed today, that
right.
There is that let's say it's just say it's a country that rhymes with the word slusha. And let's just assume that they've got all of this. They've got the emails. They've got Snowden. They've got Hillary. They're trying to figure out what they want to do. If they want to create World War III-esque chaos without firing a shot, if they're keeping all these things, I mean, imagine the poop storm that they could create in the days before the election, or in the days right after the election, or at any given moment. Are we doing the same thing to them that they're doing to us?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's not like I'm sitting in the situation of the room of the White House, and I can tell you, but the truth of the matter is that and it was a very interesting documentary, Zero Days,
yes,
where they talk about the Stuxnet virus and the fact that some folks we may well know well were involved with that. The reality is that we do to them what they do to us. The only difference is that we issue press releases all the time this happens, and they don't.
So what's the damage if I have a Yahoo account, which I don't, but I'm sure a lot of people listening might. And so what do they have to worry about? Change their password, or into everything that possibly could have been accessed, like, I guess, banking information, I suppose, what could be in an email or some sort, and change all that?
Well, you know, and the problem is if this is already in the hands and has been in the hands of others for a significant period of time, because remember, they said that this was 2014, the end of 2014, someone got in.
You know, it's funny. I cannot remember my Yahoo password. So I would like to ask the Russians if they could actually give me back my Yahoo password, because I never use that account. So if anybody could help me with that, that'd be great.
I think listen, I knew a guy who lost his password, was trying to recover it, lost his cell phone, and then realized that the recovery email that he gave in the event his cell phone was unavailable was his Yahoo email account, and he's been able to get into his email account. So, you know, these things happen too, but the truth is that, you know, people should be changing their user ID and password anywhere they can if they think in the slightest it is similar to or the same as the user ID and password they used for Yahoo. And there are studies that show that almost 50% of people tend to use the same user ID and password across their entire universe.
Yeah.
So there's that. They should also be very, very wary of getting phishing email, because now they folks not only have this information, but they have it in context. So they could communicate with you as if they're an official organization, including Yahoo, and make you believe that the link you're clicking on is to somebody you trust, you know, you've done business with, and it isn't. Or the website that you're going to by clicking on a link is an official website of the IRS or a bank or something else, and it may not be. So that's why you now have to independently go to websites, not click on links. If someone calls you on the phone, because remember, phone numbers were taken too, don't start giving information to them, even if they sound official. If it sounds like your bank or credit card company, hang up, flip over your debit or credit card, call customer service, and then speak to them, ask them if there's something in the notes that indicate they called you. I mean, this is the time that, unfortunately, people really have to double down. Convenience can't trump security in a situation like this.
Don't say Trump. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, Adam, you were very helpful. Appreciate it, sir.
Very much.
And have a great day.
Thank you, too. Identity Theft 911, by the way, is... he's the chairman and founder thereof. Very smart guy.